The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Popcorn, put on your comfiest pajamas and grab a drink because it's time for a new episode of Sierra Unfiltered. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 21 of Sierra Unfiltered.
Woo-woo! We're legal!
Our podcast can now have a drink, although you cannot.
Yeah, I can just have tea. So and you're not drinking today.
I'm not. I have water. What you drinking?
I am drinking a nice peach tea. And very you're nice. Drinking water, so.
Yeah. Although our podcast is of drinking age.
Yeah.
We are not drinking.
I thought you were going to say we are not. I was going to be like, did you hit your head? Or both of us are of drinking age. Yeah, so that's our what you drinking.
Yeah, we are well into the holiday season now. Well, kind of. It's like December 3rd as we're filming this. But I feel like it hit me like a truck.
Oh, yeah. I'm fully in the swing of things.
Yeah, like I feel like a big truck of like tinsel and scented pine cones and Christmas trees came barreling down the road. And I was like Regina George standing there just getting hit by the Christmas tree bus.
Oh, absolutely. I bought everyone's presents I need to buy except for one.
Oh, wow.
Like
who is it that you haven't bought?
My mother-in-law. Okay. You know. Well, and I know what she wants. But that's not a hard thing. When people tell you specifically what they want and then it's like it doesn't exist, and so then you have to figure out a way to make it exist. And, like, not in, like, a crappy DIY way.
Yeah, like, you want to make it good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. We'll see. I'll get it done.
I have not done that much holiday shopping. I should have taken better advantage of Cyber Monday. We got we actually got new headphones. We're not wearing them.
Yeah.
But in the next podcast, we will. They're rose gold. They're very pretty. So, these, like, just kind of clunky normal person headphones anymore. Yeah.
And they're Beats.
Yeah.
Which I feel like
Beats by Dre
makes us hipper.
Except not when we do that. Then it makes it worse.
Me and my grandma sweater saying Beats make me hip. I mean, a mood.
Also, it's Vlogmas. I'm running my vlog right now, which I'm going to cut by a vlog.
Hi.
But it's Vlogmas. So I am vlogging every day on my vlog channel. 25 days of vlogs. And this is the first year that I have help editing, which is crazy cool. So, like, day one, my editor Rachel edited. Day two, I edited. And then day three, today, Carly's going to do the first half and I'll do the second half.
That's awesome.
So it's nice because I feel like in the past, I enjoy Vlogmas because it's fun. It's a fun time of year. It's fun to document everything. And it's fun just, like, that challenge of, like, every day there's a vlog and it goes up the day after it's filmed. But when life gets busy, it's hard knowing that I'm gonna make the choice to put work before like family and like miss things because I have to edit, because filming Vlogmas isn't really hard. I just film what I'm doing, but it's the editing that if I have to edit it that night, but you know, my friends are going Christmas caroling or my family's having a movie night and I'm like, sorry, can't go. And it's nice having that help. I feel like, I mean, it's only day three, but I think this Vlogmas is gonna be the most enjoyable for me.
I'm so happy to hear that. I know when we were having all those discussions back in New York about, like, you maybe going down to one video a week, like, Vlogmas was a big part of that conversation. So I'm happy to hear that it's been healthy and balanced and good. And
yeah.
I even saw you, like, post on the community tab and you were like, I'm doing Vlogmas. And all the top comments were like, I'm so excited, but also, like, if you miss a day, it's fine.
I know. It was so sweet. I feel like, and that's the encouragement I need of, like, if I need to do a combo vlog, like, I can.
Yeah.
And it's okay, and people understand. And also going down to one video a week on my main channel was so helpful.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
Because, like,
well, and oh, sorry, no, go ahead. I interrupted you. I was gonna say, also with Vlogmas, like, as a viewer, there are so many videos constantly coming out that I don't even think I would pick up if someone missed a day. Because I feel like I watch, like, okay, I'm watching whoever, Aspen Ovard, and then I'm watching Carrie Dayton, and then I'm watching you guys, and this person and this person, and there are so many creators doing it that it's not like you're the only people doing Vlogmas, and if you don't do it one day, people have no content to watch. Like, right. People have a ton of content in December. Yeah. The most ever. So. Yeah.
No, really. What was I gonna say? It's just crazy, like, how much I feel like my life changed when I decided that I was gonna give myself some leeway on, like, filming and stuff. Even, like, we're filming a main channel video on Friday, and so I'm just pre-filming a Vlogmas, so that I don't have to, like, play double duty. And so it's nice, like, but if we were doing two videos a week, then, like, I don't want to have, like, half my Vlogmases pre-filmed, you know? So
that's wild. We haven't done, like, a touch base since we've made those changes. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I'm feeling really good about everything. And we also brought a new member of the team on. Her name is Jessica. Woohoo! Jessica is in the other room doing a video outline right now. And she is stepping in and taking some stuff off my plate, but also taking some stuff off Skylar's plate. Because Skylar is due in a month and a half.
Yeah, 8 weeks, which is nuts. We were trying to figure out, I'm all, does that make me 7 months pregnant or 8 months pregnant? Because I've already been 7 months pregnant. And if you look it up, it's all, you could be 7 or 8 months. And I'm like, I think these are, like, objective things. Of, like, if I am 32 weeks pregnant, then I should be X amount of months pregnant.
Right.
But apparently not.
You're a cusper.
I'm a cusper with my pregnancy. But yeah, it's been super nice having Jessica here. Yeah. It's super fun. You guys have probably heard me talk about her on the podcast.
She's kind of Skylar's, like, my Kenzie. Yeah, other best friend.
It's, like, super fun. And her and I have worked together for years and years in theater. She, like, has been my associate designer for a ton of stuff. So it's cool because even, like, when she sends over paperwork, it's, like, formatted the same as I would have formatted it. And I'm like, this is great for someone taking over some of my responsibilities, that they, like, have the same kind of brain things. Brain right now thoughts. I have pregnancy brain, so her brain is working much better than mine.
But
been super fun.
Yeah, it's been cool. So the plan is, so just to be transparent so you guys know what's going on, we are gonna be still putting out podcasts through the rest of 2019, and then we're gonna take a 2-week hiatus in January of 2020. So we're gonna take the first 2 weeks of January off, just give a little kind of revamp. Then we're going to come back and it's going to be season two. We're going to do kind of in seasons like that. And Skylar will be in and out based on how she's feeling with pregnancy. And then once the baby gets here, how she's doing with that. And I think the plan is that Steven is going to fill in for her.
Which will be really fun.
And then depending on how she's feeling and how things are with the baby, she'll definitely come back. The question is just, like, how long we're going to take. And I don't want you to feel, like, pressured at all. I know I, of course, understand. The viewers understand. Yeah, like, you and your family and your baby are the most important things to all of us. And so it's – I know it's, like, a fun thing that you like doing, recording the podcast. Yeah. But, like, take as much time as you need.
That's very sweet. I'm excited, too, because, I mean, doing this isn't like being in a main channel video. Like, we literally, like, wear pajamas and I'm, like, wearing my glasses today. It's very chill and it's just as, like, sitting and chatting. So I feel like there may come a time where I'm like, I really want to get out of the house and just, like, go talk to my best friend for an hour and a half and, like, tell you guys everything. So I feel like talking about birth is fun and all of, like, the newborn things. I don't know. I think it's super interesting.
I like it too, just for our friendship. It forces us to just sit down and talk for, like, 2 hours a week, which is, I feel like we get to kind of hash out a lot of things that normally might be just a 1 or 2 minute passing conversation, but it becomes like a full on podcast.
I know. It's so great. What other life things have been happening? Is there anything else we want to talk about before we get into the podcast?
No, I don't think so. Oh, I'm starting to see a dietitian. Oh, I guess my my sister's update.
Your sister's
my sister time. Sister, sister. Like, do you remember
that's cute. Tia and Tamara.
Yeah. Should we call it sister, sister?
I love that.
Okay. So my sister, sister update is I am starting to see a PCOS dietitian. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited about it because she is body positive. Mm-hmm. She is a registered dietitian and certified dietitian and nutritionist. So she's like, she's actually like a certified,
yeah,
educated nutritionist and dietitian.
She's not just like a body positive person on who's Instagram, like, who's like, yeah, I can tell you what fruits and veggies to eat.
Yeah, like she knows her stuff.
Yeah.
And she specializes in fertility and specifically PCOS.
That's so awesome.
So she is working with me on what foods I should be eating and what foods I should be limiting to try and lessen the effects of PCOS, which is really great. And we had that meeting. I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast. We had that meeting with my OBGYN, mm-hmm, and they kind of gave us like a plan outlined of like what if I'm not pregnant by, you know, 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, the steps that we'll take.
Yeah.
And I also met with an endocrinologist, which mm-hmm is a hormone doctor. And they are doing some tests on my metabolic rate, which is just really interesting to know.
Yeah.
And then they also are starting me on a medication. So
that's so, yeah, exciting.
Very proactive. My endocrinologist was like laughing a little bit, and she was like, yeah, everything that you just said you're doing is what I was going to recommend to you. So like, just keep doing what you're doing. You're clearly very prepared. And that's great. So
that's awesome. That's, yeah, so cool. Well, and I feel like a lot of times with things like that, being the most prepared and like taking proactive measures is just also kind of a stress reliever of, you know, you're not just sitting around like twiddling your thumbs. Yeah. You're like, I am actively working on this, mm-hmm, and trying to find a solution and, I don't know, just going on your own journey.
Yeah. So. Oh, do you want to do your bump sister date?
Yeah.
Now that sister-sister time is done.
Well, and I actually just realized when we were at lunch, I got a call from Kyle, and then you were upstairs. But we found out our move-in date, which is exciting. December
23rd. Ooh!
So I said it's not, like, it's not bad news, and it's not, like, the best news. It's, like, middle news. That's, yeah, right in the middle of when we said, because we said that either it would be December 14th or the 27th. Yeah. So that's like smack dab in the middle. And then Kyle, we found out like a week or two ago that he's actually getting a big holiday break, which thought he was literally just going to have Christmas off, like not even Christmas Eve. But he gets the 21st through the 1st off.
Yay!
So that means that we can like actively be working on everything and painting and moving. And so I'm real excited.
And Steven and I want to help with anything we can. Aww. So if you want us to come over on the 23rd, and help you guys move in, or if you just want it to be you time, that's fine too.
That's so sweet.
We can come over the next day and bring sparkling virgin rosé. But we're just so excited for you guys.
Aw, thank you.
Are you going to put up a little tree in your house because you're moving in on the 23rd?
I mean, realistically, probably not, because we'll probably have like people like redoing the flooring, yeah, and stuff in there. So we probably won't move in until, yeah, like the 29th, I would guess, because, yeah, we have a decent amount of work that we want to do on the house before we move in, and then like while we're moved in before the baby gets there, and then like after the baby moves in. That's after the baby moves in.
Who were we talking to yesterday? Oh, it was when we went to a spa day with me, Skylar, Carly, and Jess to, yeah, like celebrate all the success of Sierra Unfiltered Live. And someone was like, oh, what does your baby do? But they meant to say, when is your baby due? And then we're like, he's a doctor. A tax lawyer.
He's just doing a lot of things. He's the tap dancer in my, yeah, stomach right now. I said, I'm like, we have to put him in gymnastics right away when he comes out, because he's a crazy child. But yeah, yep. So that's so exciting. That's my update. My bump date. Okay, I'm going to read this off my paper because I want to make sure I'm getting this correctly.
Okay.
When my baby is born, he'll have 300 bones and I'll only have 206.
Wait, what happens to his 94 bones?
So they like, he still has to fuse bones together. Oh. But isn't that weird that like right now, I have more bones inside of me because of him than I have in my body? Like, I have more than double the amount of bones that I normally do.
That feels like a high thought.
Isn't that so weird? That's, like, what my bump dates have turned into.
It's just high pregnancy thoughts.
But definitely, like, not high, just on the record.
When we were at the spa yesterday, we were talking about how sometimes when you're so relaxed, it almost feels like you're on a drug.
Yes.
Because, like, I was getting a facial at the spa, and I literally, my eyes were closed, but I was, like, awake, but I was, like, dreaming, and I was like, is this what it feels like to do drugs? Like, this is so weird. I'm so
you're like, this is just,
is that like what pregnancy is? Is it just like, does it just feel like you're doing,
like, you're so relaxed?
No, because like all the weird things are happening, so you have all the high thoughts.
No. I wouldn't say I feel so relaxed. I feel like I'm on drugs. I feel like being in that state's like euphoria.
Yeah,
I don't know if I would describe pregnancy as euphoria. It's definitely like
magical.
I was going to say it gives you a lot of existential crises. I mean, it's magical. I love pregnancy. Like I've said many times, I like being pregnant more than I like not being pregnant at this point. Like, I just feel like it's so special. Like, yeah. It's so weird to think about myself not pregnant.
I can't imagine a not pregnant Skylar right now.
Like, how weird. Like, even little things. Like, my face is so just, like, swollen.
Really?
Yeah. Like, if you look at pictures of me before I was pregnant, like, my ankles and my, like, fingers and my face have swollen so much.
Really? So, I haven't noticed that at all.
So, like, it's just, like, a weird, like, I feel like I have a different looking face. Of, like, even my nose has gotten a little bigger. Of, like, little things that, like, you notice.
Right.
But it'll be weird when I'm not pregnant.
Like, I feel like my brain can, like, comprehend that, like, you're gonna have a baby, but yeah. I think in my brain, like, you'll still be pregnant, like, after the baby's here.
I'll still just be wearing, like, chunky sweaters and maternity leggings and...
Yeah. I don't know.
Isn't that weird? Like, I'll be able to drink again.
Yeah.
And, like, I'll wear jeans.
Weird.
Yeah, me and jeans.
You haven't worn jeans in a long time.
I know. Well, because I got maternity jeans, and they just, like... I mean, they're fine. They're, like, comfortable. I've tried, like, a bunch of different brands and different sizes and whatever. But the thing about jeans is I like, high-waisted mom jeans. They're, like, kind of, like, vintage and cute. I have never liked low-rise jeans, and they only make low-rise jeans.
Mm.
I think Khloe Kardashian has in, like, her Good American line a pair of, like, more high-waisted jeans, but then they have, like, elastic side bands.
Yeah.
So that it's not necessarily...
It's not like what you want to wear with, like, a crop top.
Yeah. But.
I feel that.
Anyway, so that's my bump date. There are a lot of bones in my body.
Lots of bones going on.
Yeah.
I have a bone to pick with you. About 300 of them, actually.
Oh, my goodness. Also, are you sweaty? No. I'm sweaty.
Do you want to turn the AC on?
No. Because I don't. Carly's in, like, 5 shirts right now. You're obviously doing fine.
I don't want you to be hot.
I'm fine. I'm just a sweaty pregnant person. So I'm sorry if you're watching and you just see me, like, slowly.
It just looks like a glow.
Oh.
Like a pregnant glow.
Oh, thank you so much. But today, we're going to be talking about red flags.
And how we found our not red flags.
We didn't do our hot takes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Wow. I don't know why I feel so out of it.
No, you're fine.
But
it's the pregnancy drug.
It's that good pregnancy drug. Do you want to start with your hot take?
Okay. So my hot take is kind of a hot take and kind of like a rant.
Okay.
So people say that if you want hydrated skin, to drink more water.
Yeah.
Everyone in my life can vouch that I drink probably too much water.
Yes.
Like, my pee is only clear. I get up from my desk.
Well, I don't know if everyone in your life can vouch that your pee is only
They can
clear.
Vouch that I drink a lot of water. Like, I get up
yes,
from
but
my...
Yes, I don't think the way you phrased that was, okay. like, everyone okay. in my life can vouch that my pee is clear.
Okay. Everyone in my life can vouch that I frequently get up to pee.
Yes.
I can vouch that it's always clear.
Love that for you.
But, like, literally, we were sitting in the office today. I probably got up 4 or 5 times to pee,
yeah.
and then another 2 or 3 times to refill my water cup.
Yeah.
Like, I drink a lot of water,
mm-hmm.
and I have the world's driest skin.
Yeah.
And when I was in for my facial at the spa yesterday, she's like, you don't drink enough water, do you? Your skin's so dry. And I was like, you really want to tell me I don't drink water? You want me to show you my pee? It is crystal clear. I drink so much water.
Girl, I can pee right here on this
you
wanna
table. You want to see it? I will prove it to you, lady.
Aww.
I have the driest skin, especially on my face. My forehead has, like, an eternal patch of dry, dead skin right here. I put, like, oil, serum, all this stuff, and it helps. But I'm fully, fully committed to that me drinking a lot of water does not affect my skin at all. So that's my hot take.
Wow. I mean, I can't really contribute to that. But, I mean, more power to you. You live your truth.
Do you have combination skin? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My skin's just, like, pretty even keel.
Yeah.
Which, and I don't drink a lot of water. So maybe if I drank a lot of water, then I would have, like,
oily. Skin.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know. But my hot take is that email etiquette is very important.
Ooh.
And what I mean by this is I have gotten numerous business emails that have, like, smiley faces in them, mm-hmm. emoticons that'll say, like, weird phrases, or I don't know if I've ever gotten an email with profanity in it. But yeah. I know Kyle's gotten emails where people will, like, drop the F-bomb Ooh. In it. And it's like, I get that, like, we also text, and when we text that way, but this is an email, and, like, please don't put a smiley face in your email.
See, I get on Steven for that a lot. Not for the smiley faces, but I will occasionally, like, if he'll be like, oh, can you read over this email for me, like, for the Sierra Schulte business?
Yeah.
And it'll say something like, oopsie, didn't see that, or, like, he'll say things like oopsies, or, like, oopsie daisy, or things in that realm that are just, like, really not professional.
Yeah.
And it's not professional in that he's, like, cursing or anything.
Yeah.
It's just, like, yeah, maybe, like, to our tax lawyer, don't say, like,
oopsie.
Yeah, oopsie daisy. Like, I don't have any other examples, but they are plentiful.
The only time I can think of that I've ever done it is, like, if I'm doing really weird ordering for a video for you. Like, when I sent you, you were like, I'm thinking maybe, like, a sexy Hagrid. And then I, like, sent you over an entire thing of, like, and here's the Buckbeak toy we'll put on your shoulder. I, like, set it in a professional format and then put, like, LOL.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's, like, the extent of me being unprofessional, and it's only to you, and if it's only kind of an unprofessional professional thing that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, how funny is our life that I just sent you, like, a very formal, like, hey, Sierra, I hope all is well. Attached below is ba-da-ba-da-ba.
It's sexy Hagrid's costume.
Like, that's kind of like a LOL, what is our life?
You know what bothers me more than anything in professional emails? Your and, like,
when you say LOL.
Yeah, no. And maybe a little bit of tea and shade to people that are watching that do this. And this is not to someone that you know. This is, like, cold email to someone new when they call you babe. And this is a woman-to-woman thing mostly.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that's because you're an influencer and you get a lot of, like, inquiries.
I'll get an email from, like, a brand rep that's like, hey, babe, love your channel. And I'm like, I appreciate this, and I do like your product and your company, and I'd be interested in working with you.
No.
And the babe isn't going to stop me from working with the company.
You're like, are you sending the same email to Casey Neistat?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Like, why, just because I'm a woman, is it okay to call me a pet babe?
Yeah, I don't know. I've gotten sweetie before, too, and I just, ugh. Both of those, I instantly feel like it starts me on a bad foot.
Yeah.
And I, like, my manager and the people on my team never address emails to me as, like, sweetie or babe.
Yeah.
That's and those are people who know me. Like, if you're cold emailing me, don't start it with babe or sweetie.
All tea, all shade.
All right. Well, should we get into the topic at hand?
Yeah, let's do it.
So we are going to be talking about, so one of the questions I get the most is, like, how did you know Steven was the one? Or, like, if you dated guys before Steven, like, how did you know that they weren't right and Steven was?
Yeah.
And do you get DMs like that, too?
Not really.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't know. I get weird DMs. A lot of really nice DMs, but I feel like people don't really ask me that. But I feel like I've been asked that in real life.
Yeah.
Of, like, friend to friend. Like, how did you know?
And I see that. I saw that a ton in the comments of the husband cast.
Yeah.
Of people. And we get that a lot in the advice segments, too, of people being like, here's my situation. Like, what do you think?
Yeah.
And we can't, like, evaluate every person's situation. I feel like we're both really happy in our relationships.
Absolutely.
But we both also had some dating history before that where we had to make some calls about what wasn't right for us.
Yeah.
And I think we've also both watched the other person in unhealthy relationships.
Oh, for sure.
And so we're going to kind of go through, like, we made a list of what we think are, like, deal breakers or red flags. And then we're also going to talk about our own experience with finding our perfect matches.
And these are all our opinions.
Yeah.
So if you're in a relationship of like 10 years and we say something and you're like, ooh, my partner does that, I mean, maybe look into it and like evaluate how that makes you feel that they do that to you. But also don't be like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm being treated incorrectly, because maybe that's your relationship. Maybe right. that's maybe that works for you. But for us, these are like big red flags.
Yeah. And no relationship is perfect. We yeah. both are. We argue with our spouses from time to time. Like yeah. that's very normal. And we don't agree on every single thing. Mm-hmm. And it's likely that at one time or another in our current relationships, one or more of these things has been true.
Yeah.
I think it's when there's like multiple of these things.
Or multiple instances of these things.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I'm sure there's been a time with one of my ex-boyfriends where I was like, oh, like, I don't really want you to have the password to my email yeah. or whatever weird thing. But that doesn't mean that as a person, I'm like, you can never look at my phone and you can never.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So I'm excited to get into it. But before we do that, I want to say thank you to the sponsor of this podcast, which again is Cash App. Cash App is really, really great. We love them. We're so excited that they're sponsoring the podcast again. So Cash App is a free app that makes it super easy to instantly send money to your friends. So for example, if Skylar and I went to Starbucks this morning, which is an example, but also a true fact, and we didn't want to have to worry about splitting it up, I can just put it on my card and then she can Cash App me for half. And it's really easy to use. And it also comes with the Cash Card, which is a free debit card that comes with Boosts, which are like instant rewards for shopping at places that you already love. So you can get really big discounts off your entire purchase at places like DoorDash, Whole Foods, Target, and way more. It is literally like having credit card perks, but all packed in a free debit card. And one of the things that I'm really excited about what we're doing with Cash App is we're also working to support one of our favorite organizations, which is the Trevor Project. So when you sign up with Cash App and use the promo code UNFILTERED, not only will you receive $10, but Cash App is going to donate $10 to the Trevor Project. And they're a really amazing organization that offers support for LGBTQ plus youth. We really love the work they do. They're a great charity. We've both supported them individually. So when Cash App was like, hey, do you have a charity that you want to work with us to support? We were like, Trevor Project.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I just feel like anytime that we can do something charitable, it's just so, so awesome.
Yeah, especially with the holiday season. It yeah. gives me all the warm fuzzies. So thank you, Cash App, for thank sponsoring you. And for working with us to support the Trevor Project. Thank you, you guys, for supporting our sponsors. Don't forget to use that promo code UNFILTERED when you download Cash App from the App Store today.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you, Cash App. Thank I'm really you. Excited. I love working with brands that are just so great and so easy and
oh,
like
absolutely.
That everyone has a need for. Like,
oh yeah.
Do you remember when it used to be like splitting up the bill and you'd be like, okay, and we'll add tax and we'll add this.
Oh yeah.
And then now it's nice. You're just like,
it's yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
I feel like, and anytime you feel like you ask a waiter to do it, you just feel like the worst person in the world. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, what was on that person's tab? And I don't know. So it's just so convenient and wonderful.
It's so nice. We'll just add, I feel like it used to be like trying to sit there writing everything out. Now it's just like, oh, yeah, we'll take the receipt and Cash App mm-hmm. you later.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very easy. Big fans. Mm-hmm. So do we want to get into the topic at hand?
Yeah, absolutely. So we kind of paired like two things together. So maybe do you want me to read one and then you read one?
Yeah, I like that.
I feel like a lot of these things kind of go hand in hand.
Okay.
So my first thing is they don't want to put a label on things. And I think that with this, if you've decided, like if you've both decided, we do not want to be monogamous, we just want to see what happens, we want to go with the flow, that's a totally different story.
Yeah.
But if you guys are acting like you're in a relationship, if you're like going on trips together, if you're meeting their family and they want to be monogamous with you, but they just don't want to like make it official.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a red flag.
And I think also if it's going after a long period of time, because yeah. I think it's super normal to have a couple months of lead up before you decide to put a label on things. But I think if it's been a long period of time, you want to have a label on things. They want you to be monogamous with them, but they're like, eh, we don't have to call it anything.
Yeah.
That's when I think it starts to get like, I don't know about this. I had some things with guys mm-hmm. when I was in high school. And I remember I was having a conversation with my mom and my high school best friend, Kendall. We were in the car, like, on the way to school. And my mom was like, just remember, like, if after you guys have been starting to talk for a while, like, if they still don't want to put a label on things, there's probably a reason. Mm-hmm. So, like, what is it? Are they talking to someone else? Are they embarrassed? Or is it something more, like, tame? Is it that their parents won't let them have a relationship because we're in high school? Is it yeah. that, you know, they don't want things to go too fast before they go to college? Is and just finding out why, because there usually mm-hmm. is a reason.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I mean, it sounds like kind of brash when I say it, but when you're dating someone, there are only like two things that happen. Either you break up or you're like together until you die. Mm-hmm. Like, there's really no other option. Mm-hmm. Whether that includes marriage and like a long-term partnership, or I don't know. I think that either things are going to end and you're no longer going to be together, or you're going to be together until one of you dies.
Yeah.
And so if someone's not wanting to put a label on things, then that means that most likely the first is going to happen and you're going to like not be together at some point. And I think I've had plenty of like quote unquote things where I knew like I'm not going to be sitting on a front porch swing with you when I'm 90. And that's fine. Yeah. Like, this is just for this week. This is just for this moment. This is just for a couple months until a big life change happens. Whatever it may be, that is totally fine. It's just when people aren't being transparent with you about what they want.
Yeah. Which I think on the other side of things, it can be a red flag if they are rushing things too much, too quickly, yeah. and you're not on the same page. So mm-hmm. I think there's a big difference between, like, you always hear those love stories of, we met and we knew, and 2 months later we were engaged, and 3 months later a baby was on the way. And, like, sometimes that happens, and both people are on the same page, and it's beautiful and magical. But I think the red flag is when you are moving at one pace and they're pressuring you to move at a faster pace.
Yeah.
So if you're, you know, wanting to date casually or even potentially have a more serious relationship, but you want to take your time, and they're pressuring you to move in with them really quickly or get engaged or do any of these, like, let's lock it in right now, and you're not ready for that. I think I've seen friends go through that. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because all you want is the best for them.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the one who's sitting there saying, oh, well, like, this is too fast, because it doesn't necessarily have to be too fast if you're both on the same page. Mm-hmm. But if the one partner is pressuring the other partner and the other partner isn't on board, I think that's a red flag.
Well, especially, I've never heard of someone moving too fast emotionally. I've heard mm-hmm. of people moving too fast with big life changes that are, like, also financial decisions yeah. and also just, like, overall, I don't know, big picture decisions of, like, things like getting married or moving in together.
Quit your job, move out of state.
Yeah. And I think that those things are a lot harder to take back than, like, oh, he said I love you in the first week and I wasn't quite ready, but, like, I said it anyways. Like, that's also a little bit of a red flag. But I feel like what we're talking about here is more logistical yeah. of, like, hey, I'm happy in my current living situation, and after a month then being like, no, we need to live together, like, this is how it has to be.
Yeah. But and I think a lot of these things just come down to, like, being on the same page.
Oh yeah.
As the partner, you know. But the next thing was if they don't really have any friends or any yeah. friend connections. And some people are, like, super gregarious and have a big friend circle, and some people have a few close friends, and I'm not talking about the difference between that.
Yeah.
I think for me it's a red flag when it becomes just you and that person.
Yeah.
And, like, no connections, it's only about you two. They maybe don't have a friend circle, so they want to cut you out from yours.
Yeah.
I went through a relationship like that in high school where the guy I was dating really quickly wanted, it was like a guilt thing of, like, every time I would hang out with my friends, it's like, well, why would you want to be with them over me? Like,
yeah.
And I choose to be with you over anyone else. Why would I want to be with anyone else? And then I'm like, oh, I guess I shouldn't have friends.
Yeah.
And that can, I mean, that is unhealthy, but it can really, really quickly get, like, dangerously unhealthy mm-hmm. because once you're cut off and you're so reliant on that person, it feels like there's no way out.
Well, and even on a lighter level, if I feel like it's nice to have people to talk things over with, of, I feel like if it's just you and this one person and you guys are fighting and you just only have yourself and the person to talk it over with, like, you're not really going to get anywhere. Right. I mean, obviously, you can do, like, self-reflection and eventually, like, come to a meeting ground. But I feel like it's so helpful to at least have, like, one friend mm-hmm. or two friends who you can call up, even if that's, like, your mom or your yeah. dad or whoever, and just be like, hey, I really want to hang out. Like, yeah. I just want to, like, get a coffee. I want to get a beer. I want to just take a break and, like, step outside of this apartment and, like, have a second where it's not just me and this person all the time.
Yeah.
But on that same page, they don't have a relationship with anyone in their family. So I think the preface to this is it's totally okay not to have relationships with certain people in your family or most of your family or whatever, because things happen. Like,
yeah.
kids come out as gay and then their parents, like, disown them. And obviously, like, you're not expected to have a relationship with that person.
Of course not.
Or your parents can be abusive, or your parents can be, or you could just disagree. You could just not like them.
Yeah.
But I think not having a relationship with anyone in your family, yeah. like, no cousin, no grandma, no one, is just a little bit, it makes me think that you potentially, like, lack empathy,
yeah.
that you can't. You can't form a relationship with anyone.
Well, and it doesn't even have to be blood family. It can yeah. be your found family, your chosen family. But having those people, like, that are forever part of your life,
yeah.
Whether that be by blood or by not, I think it kind of comes back to the friend thing where it's, like, it can become just you and that person, which yeah. is a little scary.
Well, and then they, I mean, I've been with people before where they've really latched on to my family. Mm. Like, I've been in entire relationships. I can actually think of two entire relationships where I maybe met their parents once or twice, and oh, wow. they were constantly at my house because my parents are, like, very inviting, very warm. I'm super close with my parents and, like, my siblings. And so it felt like they became almost like an additional sibling to the family because they were so close.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, why don't you have this relationship with your family? If yeah. there isn't any, like, bad blood there, you just aren't making the effort.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know. It just, for me, it always comes back to that, like, if, especially if it's someone who you want to have a serious relationship with, like, how do I see us having a family together? Like, yeah. with Steven and I, it was always, like, I want us to be a strong, I mean, not always, but once we got engaged and once we were married, mm-hmm. it's, like, I want us to have a strong marriage and a strong relationship so we can create this very tight-knit family who loves each other and is there for each other,
yeah.
and that our kids can be friends and that we can be, you know, there for our kids. And I think when someone doesn't really value family as much,
yeah,
it can sometimes be harder for them to be that own staple in their own future family if you want
absolutely.
A family.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And I think the next thing we want to talk about is people who just cannot take responsibility for their own wrongdoings. This can be people who, like, will never let you win in a fight. They just always have to have the last word. Or this can be kind of, like, backtracking to the friends and family thing, it can be people who are like, oh, all of my exes are crazy.
Yes.
Like, I never did anything wrong in relationships. And it's, you ask why they broke up, and it's like, no one cheated, no one did this, no one did that. But, like, magically, my last 10 relationships haven't worked out, and none of it's been my fault.
It's all these crazy women. Yeah. I guarantee, because I had two main relationships before Steven, mm-hmm. and I've talked about them before. I'm pretty sure one of them would probably not refer to me as, like, their crazy ex. I'd just be like, oh, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
The other one, I'm pretty confident, would refer to me as their crazy ex when I don't think I was, like, crazy in that relationship in any yeah. way. I was a normal teenage girl. And then that guy that I was dating, who I think would refer to me as his crazy ex, would refer to the three girls he dated before me as his crazy ex.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, maybe there's a common denominator in all these things that's, like, not all the girls that you dated.
Well, and also at the end of the day, you were an active participant in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there definitely are people who I've dated who I look back on in more of, like, a fond lens than others. Mm-hmm. Like, there are definitely a couple people where I'm like, you're a good one. It just, like, didn't work out. And there are other ones where I'm like, we both weren't in a good space at that point.
But you're not looking on every relationship before Kyle and going, crazy ex-boyfriend, all your fault, all your fault, all your fault. It's like you were part of that relationship, whether it was good or bad.
Yeah, no, literally, like, all the time I'll run – that sounds like a lot to be like, all the time I'll run into people I've dated. But even, like, just working in the, like, kind of theater entertainment community where I grew up, like, I will run into people that I've dated, and it's always great. Like, we were with someone last weekend, 2 weekends ago, and it was wonderful and professional, and they gave Kyle a handshake, and it was great.
Yeah.
Look back on that person with nothing but good feelings. But I think it's the every single person I've ever dated is wrong and crazy that is, like, a huge red flag.
Yeah.
Because what's different about you?
Right.
You know?
Like, right. And I think on the other side of that, since we're pairing these things together, I think a red flag can be when it seems like they are still looking for closure in a past relationship.
Oh, for sure.
If you're the rebound, you know, if they're still, I mean, because there's a difference between still hurting over a past relationship and still, like, longing for a past relationship.
Yeah.
It's okay to have emotional scars. It's okay to have some baggage that you carry from pain from a last relationship. I think that's normal. But I think it's when that has not been resolved with that person and they're still, because I don't think the problem is talking to your ex or having friendships with your ex. I think it's when they're still looking for something with that ex.
Well, and also I think just, like, the comparison of, like, when I was with so-and-so, like, we did this way, or, like, even just little things of, like, we always used to eat at this restaurant. Let's go eat there. It's like, are you trying to just, like, imagine that they're
this person?
Yeah, like, what is happening here? And so I think that even just things like if you find out that they are, like, constantly looking at that person's social media, even though they, like, aren't friends with them, that's, like, a huge red flag.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and also this kind of circles back to what we were saying about, like, all these things are personal. And so some people can be friends with their exes, and that's not a red flag at all.
Oh, yeah.
For me, I think it would be a red flag if someone was super close to one of their, like, long-term exes. Mm-hmm. Like, if someone had dated, like, if Kyle had dated a girl for, like, 5 years and then still was, like, texting her every day, to me, that would be a red flag. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, we've been at events where Kyle's exes have been there, and we're all, like, super cordial in the same circles, but, like, they went to school together or whatever, and that's fine. It's just the constant.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think, I mean, another thing that I think of that's kind of in the same vein as that of, like, talking to other people looking for something with someone who's not you if you're monogamous is that they refuse to let you, like, not look at their phone or anything like that. Because I'm not someone who's like, oh, I need access to all your things. But if they're, like, turning their phone screen and texting, or if you're like, oh, hey, can I, like, see that thing that I wrote in your notes yesterday? And they're like, let me type in my passcode. If they're, like, closing browser windows whenever you're around. It's those things where it's, like, I don't need access to all your social media. I think that's a little much.
Yeah.
But, like, if there's a reason that you don't want me to, then, like, what is it? Because, like, I don't need to go digging for things if I trust you.
Yeah.
And I won't go digging for things. But, like, there, if someone is turning their phone, if someone is always turning down their brightness and then doing it under the table, closing browser windows, shutting their computer, very, very secretive, that to me is a red flag.
Well, and I think in that same token is people who, once you start dating, are like, I need access to all of these things.
Yes.
Like, let me, at the end of the day, go through all of your text messages with every guy you've texted. Let me have access to your Facebook so I can look through your messages. And, like, that's someone who is actively, first of all, like, not being trustworthy and there are issues with that, but also kind of actively looking for problems.
Yes.
Of, I've dated guys who, like, have looked through my phone before and found text messages that were, like, completely innocent.
And but tried to make it into something.
They put themselves in that headspace of, I'm going to find something that's going to upset me. And then they were, like, scrolling back months and months of text messages, and then they find something and it's literally nothing, but because they were already in that negative headspace, mm-hmm. it becomes a huge thing.
Or when they villainize any sort of friendship or relationship that you have with someone of a gender that you're attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
So like, we're both heterosexual women.
Yeah.
If I was dating someone and I'm texting a guy from work totally, you know,
yeah,
normally, and they try to say, oh, why'd you say that? Or like, yeah, trying to villainize very, very platonic relationships.
Absolutely.
That to me not only is uncomfortable and not okay in your relationship, but it also makes your relationships with your friends very mm-hmm. uncomfortable.
Well, and it also makes you think, like, is my platonic friend flirting with me? Like, is there something weird going on here that, like, I'm just not picking up on? Like, I always think about my friend Zach, who I've talked about briefly on the podcast before. Him and I went to go see a show maybe like a year ago when I was living up in North Hollywood. And Kyle was like free and whatever, but like decided to stay home because it was like a show that Zach and I wanted to see together. Mm-hmm. And so Kyle like walked me out to the car and was like, have fun on your day. Like, text me and let me know that you guys got there safe. And it was just like absolutely like so pure, so whatever. And then like after the show, Zach and I like went up to a bar and like hung out with some of the crew members, and Kyle just texted me and was like, hey, like, just making sure you're safe, like, let me know if you need a ride home. And I was like, thanks, I'm totally good. And I got home, he was asleep, no problems,
right?
You know, because he knew that he could trust me and he could trust Zach and everything was fine. I cannot imagine if that had been any sort of different situation.
If he would have been like, better not touch my wife, then you'd be sitting in the car like, this is weird. Like, should I not be doing this?
Kyle's like, bye. Have fun on your day.
Yeah.
Like, and so I think it's just, I mean, obviously that's kind of like an extreme example. It doesn't have to be like you going out with a member of the opposite sex mm-hmm. and like having a night without your partner and whatever. Yeah. But even just like texting people or yeah. like hanging, like having work friends yeah. or I don't know.
Even like a lot of Steven's closest friends are women.
Yeah.
He has like a friend group from college and it's like three guys and I think four girls. No, three guys and two girls mainly. I guess mm-hmm. kind of three. And he's way closer now, I would say, with the girls than the guys.
Yeah.
And so they text and they hang out. And I saw a comment on a vlog a while ago that was like, Sierra, doesn't it make you feel weird that, like, Steven's always hanging out with women? And I'm like, no, because, like, I also have guy friends and, like, it makes no difference to me. Yeah. Like, when I go to New York, I hang out with Jacob one-on-one and, like,
yeah.
that's not an issue. And so to me, it would make me feel weird if the person I was with tried to make that weird.
Yeah.
If they were like, why are you hanging out with Jacob in New York? Like, you gonna go see a show? I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah. No, 100%. Well, and, like, for Kyle, Kyle doesn't have any female friends. Like, yeah. he just doesn't. But, like, I would say probably 80% of Kyle's friends are homosexual.
Yeah.
And, like, that's also not an issue.
Yeah.
Of, like, even, like, in our wedding party, like, literally, like, half the guys were gay. Mm-hmm. And then half of them were, like, your spouse and Jessica's spouse.
Yeah.
Like, that's just – and so I don't know. I feel like – that's just, like, a very controlling thing. That's a very common occurrence in relationships.
Yeah, I definitely agree. What was our next one?
I think the next one is if you have to justify their behavior. This one's a big one for me. And I think that this is something that, like, you really have to watch out for. I think that it kind of depends on what you're justifying and who you're justifying it to. Because I know for me, if I was like justifying, oh, like, I'm so sorry that Kyle's late to this. He like got off of work late. Like, that's a totally fine thing to justify. But if you're saying like, hey, like, I'm so sorry that Kyle yelled at you. He's in a really bad mood today. Like, that's not okay, yeah. you know? And so I think that it is just one of those things where you shouldn't have to be constantly apologizing to your partner. And also you shouldn't have to be acting differently around them or have your friends act differently around them.
I think that's a big thing for me, too, is if a friend of mine is dating someone and they ask me to change my behavior around their partner
yeah.
because they want their partner to think a certain way of me, that is a red flag.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think in a perfect world, everyone, even when they first started dating someone, would be totally themselves around their new partner.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's not the case. It takes a while to get comfortable. There are things that you maybe lie about or stretch the truth about to try and impress them. When Steven and I started talking, I told him that I wanted to go skydiving because he was going skydiving. I never have wanted to go skydiving. That was a straight up lie. And Steven told me things too, you know, where he'd be like, oh yeah, no, I actually don't really care about that. And it's, you know, normal sometimes to have those things in relationships when you're starting to get to know each other, where then later down the line you're like, yeah, no, that, you know, I was just trying to relate to you on that. But I think for me, it's when then you also expect your friends or your family to change who they are. Mm-hmm. So do you have any stories that kind of go with that?
I think you know that I know. Have a story about that.
I was setting you up.
I am trying to be very vague because I don't know if this person listens to the podcast. I had a friend recently who, like, we would hang out with all the time. And when we would hang out, like, they would come over and we would drink, like, lots of wine. Like, our whole thing was that, like, we loved rosé. Like, we literally would go wine tasting. They would come over maybe, like, once or twice a week. We'd have a wine night. We'd watch, like, a chick flick. And then they started dating someone who didn't drink, and I felt pressured, like, I was not allowed to drink if we were with that person.
Yeah.
Like, I had to pretend like I was just, like, a sober, straight-edged person that I wasn't. It was also a lot of other things. It wasn't just drinking, but specifically drinking is an easy thing to call out, of them not being like, hey, when they're around, I'm not going to drink. Like, that also would be, like, a change, but it was them telling me, like, hey, you have to change your behavior because I don't want them thinking I'm associated to you when you're being this person.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that anytime you have to ask someone to change, or if you have to, like, constantly be apologizing for that person,
yeah,
that's a huge red flag.
Yeah, and I think that kind of comes down to also, like, controlling behavior,
mm-hmm,
of, like, with that friend, I do think it was just that she made the decision on her own that she wanted to,
yeah,
change to impress him. But I think there, I have seen other relationships of my friends, and I've experienced it as well, of, like, them trying to change and control you,
mm-hmm,
trying to monitor what you wear, what you eat,
yeah,
the way that you act, the way that you talk. And I think a lot of the times it's like a wolf in sheep's clothing, where you convince, yeah, yourself that it's you becoming a better person and that they're just looking out for you.
Mm-hmm.
And a relationship that I was in high school, this person had convinced me that, like, these changes were because he cared about me.
Yeah.
And, like, he didn't want me doing this, this, and this because, like, he knows what's best for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the time I convinced myself that it was like, wow, we're just growing together and, like, really evolving and becoming, wow, adults.
This guy is telling me that I need to go to the gym 7 times a week and I need to stop eating carbs.
Yeah.
Huh. He really just wants me to grow and evolve as a person. Yep. Like, no, he is being controlling.
Yep.
He's being objectifying. He's being a lot of things. Like, I think, yeah, I think that controlling can be a lot of different things, but especially early on in a relationship, if that person is already being controlling,
yeah,
imagine, like, if you have kids with that person,
yeah,
like, how controlling they're going to be over how you raise your kids. Yeah. Or
a big thing that I see, and this isn't always like a huge red flag, dump this person right away, but a lot of the time I see men especially trying to dictate whether or not the woman that they're dating wears makeup or not.
Ooh.
So that they're like, that guys have this idea of, like, women only wear makeup for men, and, like, I want you to wear makeup or I don't want you to wear makeup. Steven was telling me that he had, like, Steven is big, like, he loves Reddit.
Yeah.
And Steven was telling me that he saw this, like, Reddit post that was like, I don't, like, the woman that I'm dating wears so much makeup and I don't like makeup and I don't understand. And, like, she has fake nails and I hate fake nails. And I don't understand why any woman would do this if, like, the man they're with doesn't want them to. And Steven responded and was like, just a thought. Did you ever think about that? Like, maybe it's not about you. Like, maybe, wow, she's not wearing makeup for you. Maybe she's, like, not getting acrylic nails for you. Like, maybe it's not about you.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that, like, is very important for people, especially men in relationships, to understand is, like, yeah, maybe everything that I do isn't about you.
Oh, totally. Well, and then kind of transitioning off of that, I think the next couple things we want to talk about were things that are red flags if you communicate about them and you're on different pages.
Yes.
So these aren't just like, oh, he's like lying a lot. These are like, if you're on a different page with this thing, that might be an issue.
Yeah. And if you're both on the same page on one side or the other, then that's fine. It's when you're on different spectrums. One of those things to me is the definition of faithful.
Oh, for sure. So I think with this, when you think of faithful, at least for me, I think of like traditional monogamy. Like, are we both on the monogamy train? If not, that's fine. But like, let's talk about it and define what our relationship is going to be. But I think within, if we're just talking for this conversation within the confines of monogamy, I think some people have different definitions of like, oh, I can like text and call girls and like have very emotionally deep relationships, but as long as I'm like not having sex with them, then I'm being faithful.
Or what about like especially in college, like dancing at a party?
Yeah.
Are you and that person on the same page that like, yeah, it's totally fine if you want to like go and like grind to a rap song with some with another guy?
Yeah.
Or are you both like, no, that's not okay?
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to have those conversations, especially if you're in a long distance relationship.
I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've heard of that say like they were cheated on, but then when they explain it to me, it seems like the other person wasn't quite on the same page because they weren't trying to hide the cheating.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that when I think about like, and I think that, that can still be being cheated on if you feel like a line was crossed. But if you don't communicate that line, it's kind of a hard thing to make that person out to be the villain.
Yeah, I think for me it's like the deceit of like you both have decided on this line and then one party deceives the other person and crosses that line.
Yeah.
And for some people that line could just be sex. For some people it could be kissing. For some people it could be hanging out one-on-one. For some people it could be texting, having intimate conversations, dancing, whatever it is, I think it's important to have the same line.
Yeah. I mean, it's all a spectrum, just like everything in life. Like, it's a big spectrum. And so making sure that not only that you guys are around the same place on the spectrum, but that you're okay with where your partner's at and they're okay with where you're at. Because it's fine if you guys are in a little bit of different places if you communicate that and you're okay with that.
Yeah.
So I think that's a huge one. I also think having very different life plans.
Yes.
To me, this is like the number one reason why my relationships haven't worked out. Of, I think in my last, like, really, my most serious relationship that wasn't Kyle, this was the number one thing that, like, just ended our relationship, was we just wanted different things. And I think that's, like, the hardest, it's the hardest red flag on this list, at least from my perspective, because usually in those situations, you really like the person, and you're like, this is great for where we're at right now, but I know that we don't want the same things, and so we can't just keep on dating because at some point we're going to have to break up, and like, or one of us is going to have to settle.
Right.
And it's going to hurt a lot more to break up 5 years down the line than it will right now, and it's going to hurt a lot more if one of us has to completely change what we want to make the other person happy. Like, you're never going to be fulfilled in that. And so I think that, I don't know. I think very different life plans can be a multitude of things. It can be, like, whether your partner ever wants to have kids. Like, some people don't want to ever have kids. Some people want to have one kid. Some people want to have, like, 20 kids. Like, just making sure you're around kind of the same place with that. Of, like, do they want to move in the future? Are they going to college? Like, are they happy in their career? I know even people that I'm very close to in my family, a huge thing for them was like, this person thought that when they got married, their partner was going to be doing one thing, and they ended up doing a totally different thing because they were young and they like hadn't truly decided what they were going to do as their career. Like, they had a job that they had been doing for a long time. They had career aspirations. But I think that if you don't know what kind of lifestyle you're going to live, it's really hard to say like, I'm okay being with you every day for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think life, and that's why I think communication is so important. Having these conversations. And I don't mean like you have to sit down on the first date and be like, so how many kids do you want to have? Do you want to move to Nebraska? Like you can have those conversations as you go. But I think when you're looking at someone and you're like, is this my perfect person? Is this my forever? Yeah. Like knowing before that your life plans match up. Another thing is maturity. Mm-hmm. If there's a big gap in maturity, it's going to be harder for you guys to be on the same page.
Oh, for sure. I've kind of experienced that. I know that you have. Mm-hmm. It's a hard thing to sit down with someone when things are going great and be like, hey, we need to talk. Like, what are you hoping to get out of this? Like, where are we going? Because I feel like a lot of times in relationships where these two things are the issues, things are going great. Yeah. And you really like the person. And so sometimes it's hard to sit down and know, like, okay, we're going to have a hard conversation. Like, it's not just going to be, like, silly, silly fun times tonight.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. Do you want to speak on this one?
Yeah. I mean, I think especially when you're in your 20s, mm-hmm. there's a lot of transition going on.
Yeah.
Some people, when they're 20, are fully independent from their parents, are living on their own. They're in their career. They know, you know, who they are. And then some people are getting into their 30s or their late 20s and are still working on that and still figuring that out. And I just think it's so important to not even have to be on the same exact level maturity-wise, but be working towards the same place.
Yeah.
And I think for Steven and I, you know, we have a 3-year age gap. And I think that really worked in our favor mm-hmm. because I am someone who's always been like very immature in like some ways, like dumb jokes that I think are funny and stupid things that I say. But the reality is like in my actual life, I'm pretty mature with like, and I always have been on, like, independence, what I want to do, knowing exactly who I am. And Steven, I think if we had started dating when we were exactly the same age, I don't think we would have been in the same place.
Oh, Kyle and I would absolutely not be dating today if we were the same age.
Yeah.
Like, Kyle's a couple years older than me, and he needed those couple of years to be in the same place that I was, to where we could mesh up and it worked. Yeah. And that's like, it's totally fine to be in your mid-20s and be at the same maturity level as someone in their early 20s or whatever the gap is. It's okay to be in your 40s and be at the same maturity level as someone in their 30s. But I think it's making sure that you guys are kind of on the same wavelength. I think as someone in my 20s, I've seen a lot of friends go through where like one person will be really independent and be like making all these strides towards their future and their partner will be like living at home with no aspirations to move out and like not going to school or not having like a bigger career goal. And so it's really hard. It's hard when one person is super motivated and the other is like just chilling.
Yeah.
Because I think two just chilling people work. And I think two super motivated people work. And then there's kind of like a middle ground, you know, of course, one person's going to be a little bit more of a go-getter or one person's going to be a little more relaxed. But I think that especially in your 20s, when some people are having kids at 20 and some people are like out doing keg stands at 20. Like, it's important to make sure that the keg stand guy and the baby girl aren't like getting together, you know? Because, I mean, you can't expect your frat star boyfriend to, like, want a white picket fence life in 6 months. Yeah. Like, that's just not
– yeah.
That's not what it's going to be.
But then also, like, you might find an ex-frat star who's, like, 30 and is, like, finally ready for that white picket star. White picket fence life, you know?
No, absolutely.
And that's why I think it's more about maturity than age.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I think kind of in circling back a little bit – of just like general things that are red flags. I think if your significant significant family members or your like important friends don't like your partner and tell you, that is a red flag. I think if they don't say anything, that's like a dark pink flag. Yeah. But if people are telling you to your face, like, hey, I really don't think your partner's right for you, they have some gusto and they know that like there is going to be unnecessary confrontation between you and them, but they've decided it's worth it to get that communication.
Yeah. I and that's why I think it's always important to like keep counsel of like the people around you who you think are wiser than you.
Yeah.
Because there are sometimes family and friends who are just judgmental.
Oh, yeah.
And like they're not going to like the person that you're with no matter what. But if there are people in your life who you look up to, who you trust, who you believe have your best interest in mind, and they are, you know, not angry, but they're just like calmly telling you like, yeah, I don't think this person is right for you.
Yeah.
I think.
Especially if they have reasons.
Yeah.
Like if it's just like, oh, like I don't like his sense of humor. That's different than like, hey, when we were at dinner with you guys, he talked to you this way. And I don't think that's necessarily appropriate.
Yeah.
Or he did X, Y, and Z. And I don't like that for you. Yeah. Like I think 98% of people have your best interests at heart.
Yeah.
And so, especially if there's someone that you're talking to about your partner in the first place, like you're willing to accept their good advice. So
I would also say ask the people that you trust the most for their opinion, because a lot of the people close to you won't want to hurt your feelings and won't just tell you outright. Mm-hmm. But if you ask them, then you kind of put them in the position where they're going to tell you.
Well, and then in that same vein, just because I know, because I had a falling out with someone because of this exact situation, if you ask someone for their honest opinion, if you sit down and say, hey, I'm conflicted, please tell me your honest thoughts on where I'm at, expect to get honest thoughts. Like, that person shouldn't be rude to you, and they shouldn't be condescending to your partner. They should be respectful. But if they are like, oh, okay, well, let me tell you my honest thoughts. I think X, Y, and Z. I think they're a nice person. I think they're this, but maybe this doesn't line up. Or maybe you guys should go into counseling because you fight a lot. Or maybe, you know, don't be like, oh, well, you don't know. Because if you're asking people for their honest opinions, like, that's what you're asking for. So don't expect anything different.
Well, and I think it's also important to remember that, like, the people that love you the most just want the best for you.
Oh, for sure.
I think before you started dating Kyle, you had introduced me to a few people. And you had asked my opinion. And I hope I was never rude. But I think I was always kind of like, they seem really nice, but I'm not sure they're right for you.
Yeah.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you started to get a little frustrated with me of, like, you don't like anyone I date.
Yeah.
And, like, I just knew there was someone better for you.
Yeah.
And I think I remember you were so nervous to introduce me to Kyle because you were like, oh, man, she's just going to hate him. And then I met him. And the next day I called you. I was like, I love him for you.
Yeah.
Like, he's so fun. He's so nice. He's so this. He's so that. And and I think the problem was not that, like, I had too high of a standard for you.
Yeah.
But that I had a standard for you that I knew you deserved.
Yeah.
And so,
no, absolutely.
And I think it can be frustrating when it feels like your friends are ganging up against your significant other. But, like, a guy I dated in high school, my parents were like, he's perfectly nice, but I just don't think he's perfect for you. And I was like, you just hate me and you don't want me to be in love. And then they met Steven and they literally would joke and call him the perfect robot boyfriend because he was, like, too perfect.
But it's true. Like, people do have your best interest at heart. And I think that also, I mean, we're talking about, like, red flags in relationships specifically, but I do think that, like, knowing in your brain what friends you, like, specifically think are wiser than you on specific things and, like, going to them for counsel on that is one of the most, like, invaluable things in life. Like, I have specific people that I go to if, like, I'm frustrated with Kyle. I have specific people that I go to if I want, like, career advice, if I want, like, pregnancy advice, if I want all these different things. And I think knowing going into those conversations, like, I regard this person's, like, opinion and perspective and experiences as, like, they are more experienced than I am in this sense.
Yes.
So, like, anything they say, I'll take with a grain of salt, but, like, I will take it. You know, I'm not gonna, like, talk to my 13-year-old sister and ask her for marriage advice. Like, that's she's never been married.
You'll talk to your mom.
You know? And so I think that knowing what friends serve you in, like, the different categories of your life is an important thing.
And I think being honest with your friends too when they come to you with that advice.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I think
obviously always being compassionate and kind, yeah, and like respectful that they are currently in a relationship with that person,
right?
And that they very well could continue to be in a relationship with that person, and you don't want it to be awkward when, yep, you show up at their wedding. And they're like, I know that 5 years ago you said that he was the worst.
Yeah. So we talked a lot about communication and how important communication is. What are your deal breakers, or what would, ooh, be your deal breakers?
Okay, so I think this is kind of where we're going to wrap up the podcast, because I think this is going to, after this segment, because I think this is very specific to you and I.
Yeah.
This is, like, not for everyone. Like, I know things on my list that, like, if we were dating, would be a deal breaker.
That's why we can't date, Skylar.
And the reverse, yeah, you know?
But these are, I think it's important to look internally at you, mm-hmm, and decide what things are you not willing to compromise on.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was in high school, my church group had us write out a list of, like, qualities that we would want in a, like, partner. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, half of mine were physical, yeah, which are so dumb because those are absolutely compromisable. Or, like,
you're like, I want him to have a six pack.
No, it was like, I want a guy with, like, dark brown hair who's, like, 6 feet tall. And then, like,
that's the equivalent of a, okay, six pack.
Well, and they were like, and then even the personality things were, like, really absolutely vague things I can compromise on. It would, yeah, be like, likes theater. If you looked at that list, Steven probably qualifies for two of those things. So I think when you're making your, if you're a single person, Steven, and you're making your deal breakers, like, those should actually be things.
I have dark brown hair, but I'm not over 6 foot.
He's 5'11". But, like, I think my things at the time were, like, I need someone exactly like me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that should always be what you're looking for. I think, yeah, what you should be looking for is, like, things that will, that are staples in your life that you need someone to be on the same page about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think with deal breakers, these can be very different person to person. And we actually, like, had this conversation over sushi, like, a couple months ago. And it really, like, made me think about everything. And I'm, like, so glad we had that conversation. And I feel like it's, if I had had that conversation when I was, like, single and looking for a partner, I think it's just so interesting also just to know what your friends' deal breakers are. Of, like, because, yeah, I think it's really what the most important things to you are. Like, your partner also has to share those. And it's not necessarily, like, interests. Like, I'm not, like, if Kyle didn't like theater, then, like, we would get divorced.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, like, Kyle's always going to like theater. Like, that, and that's also not a deal breaker. That's if one day he woke up and was like, I know I have my degree in it, but I hate the theater. I would be like, well, that's a little weird, but cool. I'll just, like, go with Sierra or my mom.
Right. Like that is whatever. Something that actually would change your life.
Yeah. No. So I think mine are, if Kyle decided that he wanted to not be a vegetarian anymore, I think if he wanted to be a pescatarian, it would, he was a pescatarian for a while, and I felt like it kind of put, like, a strain on our relationship. And so now that he's, like, fully vegetarian and, like, mostly vegan, I think that if he was like, I want to eat, like, red meat, and, like, I want to have it in our house, and I want to whatever, I think that would put a huge strain on our relationship. I don't know if it would be a deal breaker, just because, like, I love Kyle so much and we're, like, having a baby together. But I think it would be a huge conversation of, like, why are you making this change? And, like, what capacity are you doing it in? I also think that, like, if his political views shifted greatly in the opposite direction from, like, which I hold, that would be a huge deal breaker for me, because I'm someone who is, like, very, I'm how would you describe it? Like, I'm very passionate about politics, and especially all the, like, social issues that are, I'm trying not to, like, polarize our audience.
No. But I think for you, in who you're dating,
yeah,
I think it's important for you to align with that person on key issues.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I think that's how I'd put it.
Yeah. And then I also think, for me, monogamy is a huge thing. I think if Kyle one day woke up and was like, I want to sleep with other people, I think that I would be heartbroken, and I think that I don't know what I would do. And so I think that, like, those are my three kind of key things that, like, I need, and that if they changed, they would not necessarily mean that, like, Kyle and I weren't going to be together, but it would rock my world.
Yeah.
Of I would need to, like, greatly evaluate, like, what's happening, what do we do from here?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
What about you?
I think for me, a big thing is lining up on religious views. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, again, with not wanting to, like, polarize people, yeah. this is specifically for, like, my partner.
Yeah, I mean, I...
You're my best friend.
I'm not Christian.
Yeah, you're not a Christian. So many of my family and friends are not religious. I have friends of all different religious backgrounds.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's knowing that I want to raise a family with this person yeah. and that I want to raise my kids in the church.
Well, and mine's the same with all of mine of, like, meat eating. Like, Steven eats meat, yeah. and I don't have any issue with it. No. It would be the issue of... my partner in my home yeah. with our shared finances.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry I interrupted
no,
you.
No, no, no.
But I think that's an important qualification. Yeah. These aren't deal breakers for, like, friends or family or whatever. This is specifically for, like, your husband yeah. or your spouse or life partner.
I think for me, it was always really important for them to be a Christian, mm-hmm. To have a relationship with God, to believe that, like, Jesus died for their sins and is their Lord and Savior. And that, to me... is and was a deal breaker.
Yeah.
And I tried to be very open-minded when I was dating in high school and college because everyone's religious beliefs are always changing, especially yeah. in your teens and 20s. But that was always something that was really important to me and that I always tried to be very upfront about of like, hey, this is very important to me mm-hmm. and like this is, I think, always going to be an important thing in my life.
Yeah.
Also wanting to have kids. Mm-hmm. I want to be a mom. If tomorrow Steven decided, like, I don't want to have kids, I don't think we would, like, divorce over it, but I think it would be, like, one of the hardest things.
Yeah.
And
well, and that's having kids in any capacity. That's yeah. if he's not saying, like, hey, I think you would probably, I mean, I don't want to speak for you. If tomorrow he was like, hey, I want to, like, stop trying and I want to, like, take a couple months for just the two of us oh, and whatever. Yeah. I think we're talking about if he was like, never ever in my life do I want to adopt, do I want to have any sort of kids.
Right. Yeah, I think that to me is like very important. And then the third thing is limiting me. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of vague, but this was always a big thing for me is like, Steven has always encouraged me to like live my dreams, no matter what that means.
Yeah.
So like if I tomorrow decided I didn't want to do YouTube anymore and I wanted to be a stay-at-home wife, I think it would be hard, but I think he'd be on board.
Yeah.
If I tomorrow decided that I wanted to quit YouTube and go work a 9-to-5 job or finish my teaching degree, he would be on board. Yeah. And if when I decided I wanted to do YouTube full-time, he was on board. And I think for me, that is the biggest thing of like, especially when I was dating and figuring things out, is like, I think it's a red flag if someone just has their life plan and finds a way to nicely, neatly fit you into mm-hmm. a box that works for them. And it's not about looking at your two life plans and making them one.
Yeah.
And Steven was always so, so great about that, which is like one of the most attractive things about him, is that he has always been like, I want you to have your life and mm-hmm. I want me to have my life and I want them to mesh together. He was never like, I want to work a 9-to-5 job as an engineer, and so you're going to be my little stay-at-home wife, and I'm going to put you in this box, and that's yeah. what you're going to do. He never did that to me. And even in the other realm, he was never like, you have to work and have to do this. Like, it has always been, like, let's both achieve our dreams and find a way to make them work together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's a great place to end that. Do yeah. we want to do some advice?
Yeah, let's do it.
We haven't done advice in a couple weeks, and people, I think, are sad about it. So
I know. I love doing advice, but it's sometimes, like, because we talk for so long. How long is it?
I know. I don't even know.
Already an hour and 20 minutes. And yeah. so, like, this is fine to do advice after an hour and 20 minutes, but yeah. sometimes when it's been, like, 2 hours, I'm like...
We're like, is anyone listening? I'm sure my comments are like, yes, I am listening.
Should we do another secret emoji thing?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, but we cannot do one, like, the SOS one, because I forgot that we had done that, and then I just got, like, 100 messages that were like, SOS, SOS, with no context.
And you were like, what?
I was like, is Sierra hacked? Like, what's going on?
Oh, my
gosh.
So
we have to do, like, what's the nicest, okay. what's, like, a friendly emoji?
Opening up my recent emojis. Well, it is Christmas, so maybe we should do... Okay, let's do...
We could do, like, a Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Or we could do, like, one of the family emojis.
Ooh.
Like, you could send a family emoji that's, like, me and Sierra and then you.
Oh, I like that.
I feel like that's kind of fun.
Okay, yeah, do that. Just send the family emoji of, like, the two moms. And then like,
a boy or a girl.
A girl.
Or,
yeah.
I think those are the only two options.
Yeah.
So.
I love that. Okay, yeah, send us your family emoji of how you're listening to
you're
it
our
us.
Little podcast fam.
Yes. I love that. That's so cute. Okay. Awesome. Carly, do you want to do the first question?
Hi, Sierra and Skylar.
Hi.
First off, I just wanted to say I absolutely love you guys, and I love listening to you guys every week. Second, I just wanted to ask, I am celebrating my one-year anniversary here coming up soon, and I just wanted to know what you guys did to celebrate your one-year anniversary, or what kind of gift did you get your husband, or anything like that. It would be super helpful. Thank you so much. Bye.
That congratulations.
So yeah, woo-woo. That's awesome. I don't remember what we did on our one-year anniversary. Do you remember?
I remember what we did. So Steven and I had been planning. We wanted to do, like, a trip. We were like, oh, yeah, we'll go on a trip. We'll do this and that. And then we really started to think about it. We're like, you know what I really want to do for our 1 year? Get a bottle of wine, get some dinner, and have, like, a movie night with just the two of us. And we sent the dogs over to my parents' house. So it's like, send the kids off to grandma's.
Aww.
And we just had a night with the two of us at home in our comfy clothes. And we went back and watched our wedding video and looked through our wedding photos. And then we also had a bottle of wine that had been saved from our wedding, like, from our venue. And so we opened that up. And it was...
That's so sweet.
To me, it was better than any trip we could have taken. It was so great.
Aww. I love that.
I'm becoming like a softie. Like, who am I? I keep saying like weird, cute things about
Steven. I love it. Oh. I'm very into it. I have pregnancy brain and I do not remember what we did on March 24th of this last year.
I do. You were in London.
Oh.
Right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. It's hard because my birthday is March 19th and then our anniversary is March 24th. And then Kyle's birthday is... Oh, God, is it April 6th or April 8th?
I think it's April 8th, right?
I think so. Oh, no. Kyle's going to listen to this and be like, my wife doesn't know what. I promise. I don't even remember. I didn't even remember that we went to London this year. So my brain is just not here right now.
But it wasn't this year, right? Oh, wait. Yeah, it was. It was 2019. What? Sorry.
Yes, oh, my God.
Because you got married in 2018. I'm sorry.
Did I get married in 2018? I don't know anything.
Yes, you did.
I have two brains in me, but I've never been so dumb. I really cannot remember things lately.
Yeah, it's you got really married in March of 2018 because I got married in August of 2017.
Wow.
So, yes. So, on your one-year anniversary,
yes.
You were in London.
Yeah. So that's what we did. I'm guessing we probably saw some theater. We probably ate some food, drank some water, and like probably alcohol. I think too, I think anniversaries are like as special as you make them too. I think that like it's really, really fun to, if you're going to do one thing, I would say watch your wedding video because I think it's really fun to like reflect.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I say just do something that feels true to you guys. Like, it whatever makes you guys the happiest. It doesn't have to be some grand gesture. Or it can be if that's what you like to do. My parents follow the anniversary gift guide every year, which is like...
It's like a paper gift.
Yeah, it's like paper, gold. Like, 1 year it was like silver, and so my mom got him like silverware. Like, they follow that thing every year.
Interesting.
Steven and I don't do that. We don't really do gifts
for
anything but Christmas, so yeah. But it was magical. I hope you have a good anniversary.
Congratulations.
Hey, Sierra.
Hi.
Recently I've just been not having a lot of friends, and it's kind of hard because sometimes you just need somebody to talk to, and I'm not that close with a lot of people. I don't know. If you could just give me some advice on how to just be happy sometimes. P.S. I love you. Thank you for inspiring me.
Oh my gosh, my heart goes out to you.
Oh my gosh, you sound like such a sweetie. I just want to give you a big hug.
Aw.
I think like practical advice is I would say join clubs. It's, I mean, I don't know. It sounds like you're in high school or middle school or college. It sounds like you're the age of someone who's in school. I would say join all the clubs. I was talking to my sister the other day about all the clubs that she's in, and she's like, I'm in the, like, Save the Turtles Club, and I'm in the Beach Cleanup Club, and I'm in the, like, LGBT Alliance Club, and I'm in the, like, Gay Straight Alliance Club, and, like, I feel like there are so many clubs now that, like, you can join, like, the Star Wars Club, you could join Drama Club. Like, I just feel like I feel like sitting with people at lunch, if you're sitting by yourself, that can feel like such an isolating thing on top of like having weekends alone or whatever. But if you can fill up your time and like meet people who have similar interests to you, who also are looking to hang out with people, I feel like that's kind of the key.
I agree. I love that. I think that's so important. And it's so hard to just like go up to someone and be like, hi, like, how are you? And introduce yourself. Like, that is always hard, no matter how old you are. But yeah. When you're in a situation where you're supposed to talk to people and everyone's kind of new to getting mm-hmm. to know each other, it's so much easier. And I think clubs are, and teams and extracurriculars are a great way to do that.
Absolutely. Well, and even if you don't end up hanging out with those people outside of that designated time, at least you're with them for that designated time.
Yeah.
But yeah. Aww, we love you.
We love you.
Hi, ladies. Hi. I have a question, kind of more aimed towards Skylar, but, you know, anyone's opinions are always welcome.
Carly.
I was just curious if you had any advice as to how to decorate your home in, like, a sustainable manner. I feel like I'm always just looking through Facebook Marketplace and going to thrift stores and just trying to find used things, but I'm not the best at like revamping things that have been used. So just was curious if you had any advice. Thank you. Love you guys so much.
Love you. Aww, love you. First of all, that's so sweet. Wow. And well, it's all things that I like.
Yeah, take it away.
So I think first of all, my like most practical advice is to like have a Pinterest board of what you want your style to be. So like even on my Pinterest, I have like my home board, and then that's broken up into like bedroom, bathroom, living room, kitchen, whatever. So I know like specifically what I want my design aesthetic to be, because I think it's really daunting to walk into a thrift shop and be like, what here piques my interest? I think knowing basic things, I mean, for me personally, like I really like kind of, I like a mix of like timeless and mid-century modern. So mm-hmm. like I like things that are kind of like storybook cottagey, but also I really like white and gold and bohemian. And so I know that when I'm walking into a thrift store, I am only really going to be looking for things that are either like in like a good silhouette that I can paint a color that I really like and like kind of do a DIY upcycle on, or that already fit that. Because I think there have been so many times where I've walked into thrift stores and been like, that is the most amazing dresser I've ever seen, but it's like green and like very structured and whatever, and that just doesn't work for my house. And I think that's like when you get kind of more of like an eclectic feel, which also can be if that floats your boat. But I would say like painting things is like really good advice. I would say just checking lots and lots of thrift stores and not settling. And also I think sometimes the thrift stores have like the most amazing frames. So either like paying people on Etsy for their artwork and printing it out for like a dollar, or like just printing out quotes that you really like from Pinterest and putting them in these like big $1 frames from the thrift store is probably my biggest advice.
I love that. Skylar really is like the design and aesthetic aww, queen.
That's very sweet. Also, so anything can be a planter. So I would say like reuse things as planters and use a lot of greenery. But
I love
that's
that.
That's my two cents.
Well, that's a great place to end the podcast. Wow. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Be sure to check out our sponsor, Cash App, and use code use code Unfiltered for $10 for you and $10 for the Trevor Project. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast channel.
Yes.
And you can get this unfiltered crop hoodie
woo.
For $45 on the Curvy Crew.
I was going to wear it, and then I was like, is it too much if we're both wearing it? I feel like we're just going to have to like alternate.
You can who's have allowed next week.
To wear it. I will take it next week.
You can have it. Also, next week's going to be really fun because we have a special guest. So I will leave it at that.
The most special guest of all special guests.
Specialist of the special. and we will see you guys next Monday.
Bye.